upward, moving like a leaf in an upcurrent of warm air. Speeding, the atoms of my body hurtling away from each other, I grow lighter, less dense, and larger. Larger, exploding outward into the sun. I am an expanding universe swimming upward in a silent sea. Small at first, encompassing with my body the room, the building, the city, the country, until I know that if I look down, I will see my shadow blotting out the earth. Light and unfeeling, drifting and expanding through time and space. And then, as I know I am about to pierce the crust of existence, like a flying fish leaping out of the sea, I feel the pull from below. It annoys me. I want to shake it off. On the verge of blending with the universe, I hear the whispers around the ridges of consciousness, and that ever so slight tug holds me to the finite and mortal world below. Slowly, as waves recede, my expanding spirit shrinks back into earthly dimensions, not voluntarily, because I would prefer to lose myself, but I'm pulled from below, back to myself, into myself, so that for just one moment I am on the couch again, fitting the fingers of my awareness into the glove of my flesh. And I know I can move this finger or wink that eye if I want to. But I don't want to move. I will not move. I wait and leave myself open, passive, to whatever this experience means. Charlie doesn't want me to pierce the upper curtain of the mind. Charlie doesn't want to know what lies beyond. Does he fear seeing God or seeing nothing? As I lie here, waiting, the moment passes during which I am myself in myself, and again I lose all feeling of body or sensation. Charlie is drawing me down into myself. I stare inward in the center of my unseeing eye at the red spot that transforms itself into a multi-petaled flower, the shimmering, swirling, luminescent flower that lies deep in the core of my unconscious. I am shrinking, not in the sense of the atoms of my body becoming closer and more dense, but a fusion, as the atoms of myself merge into microcosm. There will be great heat and unbearable light, the hell within hell. But I don't look at the light, only at the flower, unmultiplying, undividing itself back from the many toward one. And for an instant, the shimmering flower turns into the golden disk twirling on a string, and then to the bubble of swirling rainbows, and finally, I am back in the cave where everything is quiet and dark, and I swim the wet labyrinth searching for one to receive me, embrace me, absorb me into itself, that I may begin. In the core I see the light again, an opening in the darkest of caves, now tiny and far away through the wrong end of a telescope, brilliant, blinding, shimmering, and once again the multi-petaled flower, swirling lotus that floats near the entrance of the unconscious. At the entrance of that cave I will find the answer, if I dare go back and plunge through it into the grotto of light beyond. Not yet. I'm afraid. Not of life or death or nothingness, but of wasting it as if I had never been. And as I start through the opening, I feel the pressure around me propelling me in violent wave-like motions toward the mouth of the cave. It's too small. I can't get through. And suddenly I am hurled against the walls again and again, and forced through the opening where the light threatens to burst my eyes. Again I know I will pierce the crust into that holy light. More than I can bear, pain as I have never known, and coldness, and nausea, and the great buzzing over my head flapping like a thousand wings. I open my eyes, blinded by the intense light, and flail the air, and tremble, and scream. I came out of it at the insistence of a hand shaking me roughly. Dr. Strauss. "Thank God," he said when I looked into his eyes. "You had me worried." I shook my head. "I'm all right. I think maybe that's all for today." I got up and swayed as I regained my perspective. The room seemed very small. "Not only for today," I said. "I don't think I should have any more sessions. I don't want to see any more." He was upset, but he didn't try to talk me out of it. I took my hat and coat and left. And now, Plato's words mock me in the shadows on the ledge behind the flames. The men of the cave would say of him that up he went and down he came without his eyes.